Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier. Game on 2FM.
Moving on to more headlines, because Arsenal have been dominating them today. Unai Emery, the man who followed two decades of Arsene Wenger, couldn't last two seasons. He was sacked today by the club, and we spoke to Andrew Mangan of Arsblog about the situation. I started by asking him why this happened.
Very simply, results and performances have been subpar for too long, basically. This season hasn't been great. It's 4 wins from 13 in the Premier League. And last season, Arsenal blew a very big chance to get into the Champions League and also lost in a European final. And what we've seen this season is pretty much a continuation of the end of last season, despite the fact the club went out and spent quite a lot of money in the transfer market. So ultimately, it boils down to bad results, bad performances, and a manager who appears to have lost the dressing room and been unable to turn things around.
There's always a straw that breaks the camel's back. What was it, do you think, in this case?
I think it's been death by a thousand cuts in many ways. I'm not sure there's been one particular incident. Certainly the end of last season, as I mentioned, was a black mark. The Watford game earlier in this season, when Arsenal were 2-0 up and then fell apart in the second half, Watford had 30-odd attempts on goal. That really damaged things. I think that was a performance that had profound effect on the team, the players, their belief in the coach, and also the fans and their belief in the coach. But there's been so many other bits and pieces going on. Mesut Ozil been left out in the cold this season and last season. The Aaron Ramsey situation. Lauren Koscielny looking to get away during the summer. The Granit Xhaka situation, which happened a few weeks ago. You know, there have been countless issues on and off the pitch, which I think have got us to the point where the Arsenal hierarchy have at last decided that this is no longer a situation that they can tolerate. And they've done something which hopefully will help them have a chance at least of salvaging the season.
Andrew, just in terms of, I suppose when moments like this happen, it's very much focused on the manager. You know, as a fan, as a supporter, what about the players? Do the players have any responsibility in this?
Yeah, I think they do, of course. But one of the big issues that we've seen since Unai Emery took over is a variation in performances, which is also tied into a manager who changes his formation week in, week out. He changes his tactics. He changes his system. He doesn't just do it game on game. He does it within the game as well. Quite often he has made two changes at halftime, you know, change from a back four to a back three, et cetera, et cetera. So I think there's been a lack of continuity. And over the course of his time at Arsenal, Unai Emery never really put in place a footballing philosophy, or at least a platform from which to use these tactical switches. So there was no one defined style of play, which was the baseline from which they could then pivot to different systems, et cetera, as they needed to. And I think, yeah, you can look at the players, but I think it comes down to them simply not really understanding what he wanted them to do week by week. And as time has gone on, their performances individually and collectively have declined. And I don't think you can really put it all on the players in that sense. If it was just one or two players who weren't playing well, then maybe. But really, there haven't been, apart from maybe Aubameyang this season, there hasn't been anyone who stood out or played to their potential. And that, to me, that comes back to the manager.
9 different captains during his time there. Was there a lack of natural leaders, or was it the fact that he didn't empower them?
That's a good question. I think it's quite a bit more the latter than the former. You know, Granit Xhaka has been someone who was criticised for what's gone on recently, but you know, he is actually a natural captain. Whether people like him as a player or not, that's a different thing. But he was the captain at Borussia Mönchengladbach. He's the captain of Switzerland. And when Lauren Koscielny kicked up this summer and left to go back to France, he should have been made captain straight away because he was the obvious candidate. Instead, Unai Emery took over 2 months to make a decision on that. And by the time he made the decision, Xhaka was frustrating people with what he was doing on the pitch, and it led in no small part to that outburst that we saw against Crystal Palace. And I think as well, you know, the idea of a leadership group, this 5 captains, you know, it makes sense on some level, I guess, but it's not difficult. It's one of the least difficult things that a manager has to do is pick his captain. And he made a complete procession of it. So I do think that there were leaders there, but it's been diluted by Emery's indecision.
In terms of the money spent, did he buy well? Did he waste the money? Or was that his responsibility? Or was there someone else involved?
The way that the club is set up now, it's this structure where the club buys the players and the head coach, you know, he's given the job of working with those players. Whereas previously under Arsene Wenger, he was the guy who gave the green light for any transfer in and out. And so in this new structure, Emery certainly would have had some input into the kind of players that Arsenal brought in. But, you know, we knew he wanted a winger and they got him £72 million Nicolas Pepe, you know, the hottest wide talent in Europe. And he's been unable to find a way to get anything close to the best out of him. They got him a left back. They got him a central midfielder. They got him a central defender. You know, they got him the players that he wanted or players in the positions that he wanted. But it has been unable to really mold them into a cohesive unit. I mean, I think there is some sympathy for him because he's had injuries to key players to deal with. Kieran Tierney arrived injured. Hector Bellerin, Rob Holding, you know, had big injuries last season. You know, I don't think you can really put the blame, if you like, or put the responsibility of transfers on Emery, but certainly it was his responsibility to get that group of players playing decent football, being strong defensively, and, you know, really Arsenal are worse off now when he's leaving than they were when he took over, and things weren't great when Arsene Wenger left.
What about the interim manager, Freddie Ljungberg? Were you surprised that it was him? And do you think we could have an Ole Gunnar Solskjaer situation on our hands here?
I'm not surprised it was him because he's the obvious candidate. And in this context and these circumstances, I think it was normal that they've turned to him. He's very highly regarded. He's got a good record coaching the Arsenal under-23s. And he did have a spell as assistant manager of Wolfsburg as well a couple of years ago. So he's not without experience, you know, but obviously hasn't managed at first team level. I don't quite know what's going to happen here, whether if he performs well enough, he'll get the job, or if Arsenal are just putting him there until such time as they can find the right man. But what he is somebody that people will have some belief in. He's a very popular ex-player, of course, because he was part of, you know, Arsenal's best teams, you know, winning the double, going unbeaten throughout a season. And His core principles appear to be a bit more in line with what Arsenal fans expect Arsenal to be, which is good attacking football. So I think there's a big measure of relief, and with that, some hope and expectation that Freddie can turn things around. The question really is why Arsenal didn't do this before the last international window, when he would have had a couple of weeks to prepare for the Southampton game instead of giving him 2 days to prepare for a game against Norwich.
Who do you expect to be the next full-time manager of Arsenal, Andrew?
I couldn't tell you, to be honest.
Who would you like? Who would you like?
Like,
Poch.
No, I don't see that as realistic, to be honest. Sure. I don't see how, when Arsenal are a club in need of somebody to provide some unity and togetherness, I don't know how a guy who's been manager of Tottenham for 5.5 years really does that, you know, because the first time things go wrong, that's going to be the first thing people think of. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Mikel Arteta.
That was Andrew Mangan there of Arsblog talking about what has been going on at Arsenal. Alan, I have to say, I hope that this isn't something that goes on for weeks and weeks and weeks, and we're talking about who could possibly get it and whether Freddie Ljungberg will stay on. Who do you think will get it, and who would you like to get it?
It's hard to know, Marie, but I heard a rumour today, and it was probably more of a rumour when you see the betting odds and the bookmakers slashing odds, and Allegri was actually mentioned, and his odds were slashed this morning, and I think he's exactly what Arsenal need, because the reason I'm most disappointed with Emery, and normally when a manager gets sacked, you have some sort of sympathy for them. I've absolutely zero sympathy for Emery, because the players are a shambles, but he's been picking them every week, mistake after mistake. You look at him signing David Luiz at the start of the season, the amount of mistakes he's made since he's come in. He was an embarrassment last week with the defending for the goal against Southampton. You look at Socrates beside him, another one make a mistake after mistake. It was the same last night against Eintracht Frankfurt. You look at the stuff that has gone on with Xhaka playing again last night. So if that's the spine of your team, Luis, Socrates, Xhaka, Ozil, you've no chance as a manager. And the most obvious thing that was sticking out as well when he went in was the issues they had defensively, and those are the issues that he should have addressed straight away, and he hasn't addressed them whatsoever. They played Southampton last week. Southampton coming off the back of a 9-0 defeat a couple of weeks ago against Leicester, down languishing at the bottom of the table. They had 21 attempts at goal against Arsenal last week. So they're just not learning from the mistakes that they're making, and that's basically falls at the door of the manager. I watched them last night against Eintracht Frankfurt, and they were nothing short of a disgrace, the players. And that may sound strong, and the players are a bit of a mishmash anyway. I'd have no faith in a lot of them, but I put the blame solely on the manager, because he's picking them week after week, regardless of the stuff that they're doing.
Alan, I never introduced you there. Alan Cawley, everyone.
Well, I think after that people might know.
But what they're not seeing and what they're missing out in is that your very stylish denim jacket you've got.
Heading out.
Am I not always stylish?
Hashtag out.
Am I not always stylish? No.
Donoghue will be raging now he missed that denim jacket. Stephen Kelly, former Republic of Ireland international, also joins us on the line. Stephen, Alan was very strong there, very critical of the players. What are your thoughts on the situation at Arsenal?
You kind of have to concur with him. The players have not performed at any level, but the manager is ultimately who the book stops at. And the problems that they had defensively are huge problems that Arsenal have had for such a long time, and he didn't address them at all in the summer. He didn't, like, David Luiz was not the answer. He was a defender who was on his way out in the sense of age and everything. He might have come in and have a half decent season, but he was never going to galvanise them or be that pivotal person that they can build a team around. Instead, he went down and bought wingers and attacking players, where, to be honest, they've always kind of had those. They've got a goal threat, and with Aubameyang up front, they're in games. They've always got a chance of scoring a goal. They didn't need to strengthen those areas as much as he did. So defensively, not getting the options. I don't know whether that was the board or whether that was the manager, but as a manager and being there for a little while looking at the team, he should have said to them, listen, my priority is getting me in two central defenders that I know I can rely on, are going to be here for the next few seasons, and I can mould them into and build a team around them. And he didn't do that. So that it's a big issue, and they haven't addressed it. It has to fall with him. But the players, again, they haven't performed at any way the standards that Arsenal have set over the years. And, you know, it's right that he's gone now.
So what happens next? Right. Okay, Lundberg's come in. What does he have to do? They've got Norwich on Sunday. You know, can he plug a gap, or is there something he can straight away do to change things up?
See, the problem with that, David, is he's been part of the environment that's been created there with Emery. Now that he's kind of seen as the manager in charge, even if it's only a short period of time, does he go against everything that, maybe if he believes in something different, does he go against everything that Emery's been preaching for the last number of weeks? If he does, I'd be highly critical of him, because if that's the case, why didn't he speak up while Emery was the manager? Maybe he did, maybe he don't. Obviously, it always will come back and the responsibility will lie with the manager. So we don't know what conversations have maybe gone on in the background. But I can envisage seeing much more of the same. Now, the problem there is, as Marie said at the start, the first question was, you don't want this to drag out. And the main issue I have with Emery, as Stephen also outlined, is the defensive issues. When Arsene Wenger was coming near the end of his time, everybody could see that there was a kind of a soft underbelly with Arsenal. It was the most obvious thing everywhere. Everyone could see it in the performances. Everyone used to speak about it. So if you're a manager coming in, the first thing he addresses is your biggest weakness. He never addressed that whatsoever. I was sure at the start of this season, that was the first thing again he would do. He had another opportunity to do it. Never did it. Bringing in Luis. Luis, as we all know, is a YouTube kind of footballer. Lovely little clips and all that, but you're not going to rely on him to keep goals out, as we've seen even with his Chelsea days. The first thing Frank Lampard done with him, out the door, because he knows you can't rely on him. So I think that's why Allegri is the man to have to get, because if you look at all the teams that he's managed, the brilliant teams that he's managed with Juventus, AC Milan, he comes with that background of the Italian mindset of a defensive, and that's what Arsenal are crying out for, because going forward they're very good. They will create chances. They've two excellent centre forwards, as we know, in Lacazette and Aubameyang, so they have a lot of good things going for them. But it's that soft underbelly that's always been there, that hasn't been addressed since Wenger, and hopefully the new manager, if it is Allegri or someone coming in, that's the first thing to have to fix.
Stephen, wall-to-wall coverage today, this, and all the Arsenal former players that are coming out, everyone is saying that they need to rebuild, that there's a massive rebuilding job that needs to be done. Do you think so?
It's hard to say. I don't think it's a quick fix. I don't think someone's going to come in and just add one or two players and they're dramatically going to change how they're performing. I think overall in the club there needs to be a change in philosophy and the way they need to go about things. They need to become... Arsenal, for the last few years, even in the Wenger, as Alan said, they've had a soft underbelly. You always felt like you could get at them. You could, if you got into them, if you're physical with them, you could turn them over. They have to change that. Those Arsenal teams that were the unbeatables that went on, they were physically strong men that went down the pitch and couldn't be bullied and won leagues and were comfortable, but then also had a playing style that was such a joy to watch and horrible to play against, to be perfectly honest. So they have to get back to that sort of level where they're not seen as being a soft touch. They have to be a team that is consistently performing and have a nice spine about them. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be an easy quick fix. And I do think we'll take a while to change. And what they have to do now is get a manager in that they have for a long time and they feel like they can invest in and they can put money into, and that he's going to make the right signings. But it's so hard to know whether that's going to work, because fans just want instant results. They want the change straight away, and that might not happen. This could be a Man United type thing. A manager being at a club for such a long time has such an influence on them, and Wenger had that. So the changeover, I don't think it was ever going to be a quick fix for them. It's like a Man U. It's going to take time to get back to a level of what they were before.
So, Alan, on that note, we're talking about managers going, exiting. Could Ole Gunnar Solskjaer be next?
There's a few in line, Marie. Like, if you were to, I was only thinking of it the other day. Like, yeah, Silva's obviously, and some may have thought, I actually thought at the weekend he would have gone before Emery. But then looking at the performance last night, as I said, there was no way he was going to survive that. I thought Silva would have been gone. Pellegrini at West Ham, I think, is under serious pressure as well. Possibly Hasenhüttl at Southampton. So there is, as you say, Solskjaer as well. And the problem with Solskjaer at the moment, Marie, is while Pochettino is still out of a job, and as we saw last week with the world we live in nowadays, for 70 minutes on Twitter, that was all people were talking about. So that's always going to be there when they're kind of, maybe if they're losing or drawing or not playing well, until he gets a job. But I heard you also mentioned about maybe Pochettino coming in at Arsenal. I can't see that happening at all, especially when the likes of Bayern Munich are in the mix, because he's ready to make that step now, I think, to a top quality team that's ready to win trophies. Arsenal would be a major step back for Pochettino.
So would you say Poch wouldn't be interested, you know, if the United job came
I think out? He would be interested in United because of the size and stature of the club. Certainly not Arsenal though, and especially with the link with Spurs. But I think he may be. But if Bayern Munich are on the radar, or maybe one of the top teams in Spain that were mentioned as well, I think he'd go for one of them before maybe the Man United. Yeah. Solskjaer, I think, will stick it out now for another while, even though I don't think he's the man for the job. But Man United just can't keep sacking managers either. And I suppose the fact that they've kind of put their faith in him, they have to be seen to be doing that now, because Man United are becoming just like every other normal club, that they're just sacking manager after manager. And I suppose that we'll have to try and get away from that perception from the outside as well.
Stephen, Liverpool...
Sorry, I was jumping across there. I was saying, for Poch, I would think him going to like a Bayern Munich is more of what he would want, because you'd feel that the whole thing about Poch is he hasn't won a trophy. He needs to win a trophy. It's pretty much ready-made if he goes to Bayern. He doesn't have to do that much to get them to a level of winning a trophy. He's capable of going in there and winning something with them. So then that monkey's off his back and he can move on to bigger and better things, where if he was to go to Man U, it's not guaranteed. There's a lot to change at that club before he could get that.
Liverpool, or Alan mentioned there that United are like any other club, and when you look at Liverpool, they've won as many Premier League games as Arsenal, Man U and Spurs combined, which is
staggering. Like, they're on, and they're in some form. I know they obviously didn't play that well against Napoli the other day, but the performances from Liverpool, and again it goes back to the manager, Marie. Like, you've top quality players there, but it's the demands he puts on them, and that's the difference with the top boys compared to the ordinary Joes. And the same with Guardiola, you're dealing with world class players, but the demands he puts on them. And as I've often said on the show here, like, don't let Klopp fool you with the kind of smiley, very personable attitude and approach. Behind the scenes, like, there's a real steel about him. And they're obviously playing, you look at the records, I know they're probably not hitting the heights as what they did last year, and especially defensively, because they were watertight defensively, but they're still winning the games and they're on some run at the moment.
Stephen, Everton and Leicester, we mentioned briefly about Marco Silva, and we know about the run of games that he's heading into. It's pretty horrendous. Has he any hope of getting a win against Leicester?
You wouldn't think so with the way Leicester are playing. They're free-flowing. They've got great confidence about them. He has them playing a style and brand of football that's really enjoyable to watch, but they're very hard to stop, because with Vardy, who just creates great runs, makes great runs off the channel, is always off the back of the shoulder, the defenders, he's a nightmare to play against. And when you have someone like Maddison in front of him who's always trying to look forward with the first pass, they make very, very good, exciting team. And, you know, Rodgers has done extremely well to get them to the level they're at now, and you just feel like they're going from strength to strength. So you would say he's got an absolute tough task to try and get a win at that. And then you look into their fixtures over the Christmas period, you kind of feel like he's on borrowed time, realistically.
They've won their last five on the bounce, Marie, Leicester, and Rodgers Rodgers doing some job. You asked me who would I like to see to get the job. I think Brendan Rodgers should be managing a top four club. Now, I know they're not probably seen as top four clubs anymore, United and Arsenal, because it's not a given. But certainly, I suppose, throughout the Premier League era, everybody viewed them as the top four. And I think he should be managing in the top four. He's done an unbelievable job. You even look at, they've scored 31 goals defensively as well, which is probably something people wouldn't associate with Brendan Rodgers. But they've only conceded 8 goals. Like, sort of, he's doing an unbelievable job at Leicester. They've won their last 5 on the bounce. They will beat Everton on Sunday, and I think that's Silva done as well.
And to think that they sold a defender for 80 million as well, and they've still got a fantastic defensive record. Just
yeah, it's unbelievable, yeah.
And Man City, Newcastle?
They'll win. Well, I watched Newcastle the other night again, and like, you're looking at Steve Bruce, and the setup, it just baffles me. You're going to the likes of Aston Villa, who had lost 3 on the bounce. Mm. Obviously under a bit of pressure. Now, they're decent at home, Aston Villa, but they were under a bit of pressure. And he just goes and just sets up so defensively and never takes them on. Then when they fall 2-0 down, having absolutely no attempts on goal whatsoever in the first half, he decides to come out with a different approach in the second half and to start to cause a couple of problems. And you're just thinking, like, you can understand that approach again tomorrow now, playing against Man City or Liverpool or one of the top teams. But when you're going to the likes of a club who've just been promoted, regardless of your own squad or your setup, but you'd like to think Newcastle can go there and maybe set up with an approach that they could take them on in a game. So it just baffles me, the manager. Steve Bruce was desperate the other night against Villa.
And just quickly, Stephen, Chelsea, West Ham?
Yeah, again, another manager under a lot of pressure. And Chelsea, who are playing really good football, you know, Lampard has got them, again, set up in an extremely good manner of, they press high, they've got loads of energy, enthusiasm, they pass the ball well, they're creating loads of chances. He seems to have galvanised the club and got a real big support and a backing behind them. On the other side, West Ham, you know, the players are talking about finishing the top 6 and 4 at the start of the season. I heard the quotes from David Noble and I was laughing at it, thinking there's no chance. They're just so inconsistent, and they've been exactly the same this season. Granted, their goalkeeper situation, I think, has been a big thing for them, and he is probably thrown a few goals. So Fabianski, if he was to come back anytime soon, could definitely help them. But they're so hit and miss. You don't know which team is going to turn up on the day, and you just fancy Chelsea to steamroll them, really.
Guys, thanks very much. Isn't it funny? It feels like it was about 6 weeks ago since Mourinho got the job, now that the Emery stuff has happened. But
it just changes. The picture changes daily in the Premier League. It's unbelievable, the stories.
But there's going to be more over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, there's 3 or 4
on the top.
Crazy Flores as well at Watford. Do you think he's probably going to get... At some point,
and you look at the job Steve Nuno Espirito Santo is doing at Wolves. Like, he should be in the mix for the likes of the Arsenal job. Even Chris Wilder, like, why Eddie Howe, these type of managers. Like, if Sean Dyche was called Sean Dyshinio, he'd get a job. Like, you know, it's ridiculous, really. Like, you know,
it is. It's just based on the fact that they're not as desirable. They're not as desirable because they don't come from a foreign background. They haven't proven themselves as playing this style of football in a foreign country. What Wilder's doing at Sheffield United is remarkable. I have to know, I've seen them play last season in the Championship, and I thought, I think I've said on here before, there's no way they can play that style of football in the Premiership. And lo and behold, they're doing it with players that most people would have said are not good enough to play in the Premiership, but yet they're taking on everybody at their game and playing at their own style, which is just remarkable to watch. I mean, hats off to them. I think it's revolutionary, but because it's Wilder, it's not really deemed as that.
Okay, guys, we could talk about this all night. Thanks very much for joining us. We'll be back after these. Game on. Check out the podcast on the RTE Radio Player app.